Trump was elected by about 25% of the eligible voters. Half of the voters who could have voted didn't. He lost the popular election by 3 million votes. Since then, this appalling man has proceeded to aggrandize his power. Backed by large corporations to whom he gave huge tax breaks and for whom he cut regulations, the military, to whom he just gave a $750 billion budget, a Republican Supreme Court, and the right-wing media such as Sinclair Broadcasting and Fox News, he has maintained a steady base of support in the population. Increasingly, a sense of dread has spread across their country. It appears possible that Trump may get reelected. Democracy and the rule of law are increasingly threatened. Joining us today to talk about the nature of the threat and what we can do about it is constitutional lawyer Burt Newborn. He is the former legal director of the American Civil Liberties Union and has argued cases before the U.S. Supreme Court. Attorney Newborn's book, When at Times the Mob is Swayed, has been recently published by the New Press. He is currently the Norman Dorson Professor of Civil Liberties at NYU School of Law. Burt Newborn, welcome to Law and Disorder.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Why did you choose the line from a Robert Frost poem, When at Times the Mob is Swayed, as the title for your book?
Well, it's a poem that Frost wrote in 1916 called Something Like a Star. And he was writing it in the midst of the hysteria that surrounded American entry into World War I and the jailing of protesters and the extraordinary overreaction against dissent. And the I took the line from a quatrain in the poem that says, "When at times the mob is swayed to carry praise or blame too far, we may choose something like a star to stay our mind on and be stayed." And so he was really urging people to commit to principle, stay with principle, and not allow the mob to push you in one direction or another.
The similarities between fascist dictator Adolf Hitler and President Donald Trump are alarming. You don't equate the two, but you do point out many similarities in the book, and we'd like to discuss that. Is it a misconception to believe that Hitler took power by force?
Oh, absolutely. Germany fell into Hitler's lap like ripe, rotten fruit from a tree. Hitler never obtained more than about 35% in any free election. And he didn't use the army to seize power. What he essentially did was took power as a minority chancellor in 1933, and then between 1933 and 1936 executed a series of rhetorical acts of satanic genius in which he persuaded the German people to let him govern essentially uncontrolled. Now, he used violence. He used the Reichstag fire as an excuse to suppress dissent. So it isn't as though he didn't use violence, but he didn't overthrow the Weimar Republic. It fell into his lap, and it fell into his lap because he was an evil genius at being able to divide people, to create tropes, to create the rhetoric that tore apart the fabric that held the Weimar Republic together.
Let's talk about Trump's bedside reading. It's been reported that Hitler's 1941 collection of speeches, My New Order, was in the drawer next to Trump's bed.
Well, that's what his first wife testified. His first wife, at Trump's first divorce trial, his first wife testified that he had a copy of My New Order on his bedstand. Michael Kennedy, who was her lawyer, corroborated that that's what she said. This is a pattern, of course. Trump has now sealed that testimony. That testimony is now sealed. No one will ever see it. But I saw it before it was sealed. And Michael Kennedy, who was the lawyer, reported it as well. So it's a fact. I mean, he had a copy on. He admits it. He says he didn't read it. It was given to him as a gift, and he just left it on his bedstand.
It's a decoration.
Yeah.
Why and how are our democratic checks and balances being pushed to the brink?
Well, the questions you asked me about comparing Trump and Hitler are really the answer to that, and it's why I wrote the book. I want to be clear. I'm not comparing Trump and Hitler as people. I think it's a mistake to use kind of facile comparison and compare people to Hitler. Hitler was a satanic, evil force that caused more loss, grief, and tragedy than almost anything else I can imagine. And to compare current people with that level of force, in some sense, trivializes it. It trivializes the genocide. It trivializes the massive evil that he did. On the other hand, you can't close your eyes to the fact that what Trump is doing and did in his campaign in 2016 and is doing now is just taking a page out of the book, out of the Hitler's speeches, and using the same tropes. So when I compare the two, I don't compare the two as people, and I don't compare the two as policy. I compare the two as rhetorical actors who understand how to use language and use mass communication to divide people, and by dividing them, gain more power for themselves. For example, one remarkable example is one of the very early speeches that Hitler gave after he became chancellor was a speech in which he complained about something that he called the Lügenpresse. The Lügenpresse. The Lügenpresse was his description of the mainstream press in Germany, all of which was against him and all of which treated him as a buffoon and a ridiculous blowhard, just the way many people treat Trump. He was complaining about that, and he said it's the Lügenpresse, and Lügenpresse translates in two ways. You can translate it two ways. It translates lying press, or it translates fake news. And the fact is, that book on his bedstand, on Trump's bedstand, taught him how to deal with a mainstream press that was attacking him by simply claiming that they were lying. And it's part of an extraordinary and very dangerous notion that Trump shares with Hitler. Hitler wanted to dissolve the idea of objective fact. So he would say that the mainstream press was lying, you can't believe anything he said. Then he attacked his scientists, and the scientists were lying unless science advanced his policies. And he just kept on pounding at the idea that there was no such thing as objective truth. It was only the truth that the people would accept. So everything was grist for a populist jury. And when you think about it, Trump does that all the time. Trump claims that he'll make assertions like how many people attended his inauguration, and he says it was the most in history. When in fact, the objective count means that was not true. But he keeps on repeating it, and he says it's a lie if you don't accept it. He says it's his weather forecasters, the really extraordinarily good scientists in the meteorology folks, said that the hurricane was not going to hit Alabama. Trump said it was going to hit Alabama. And then when it was proved that he was wrong, he forced his scientists to eat their words and say, no, objective truth means nothing. It's what I say that matters. And that's a dangerous trope that he shares with Hitler.
Yeah, alternative facts.
Yeah, and the alternative facts are the facts that the leader says are true and he can persuade enough of the people to buy onto, and all of a sudden, they become true by some sort of magic alchemy. And I'm also glad you asked about the comparison between Hitler and Trump. I was warned not to put that stuff in the book. Not threatened, but warned by well-meaning people who said, Bert, if you put that stuff in your book, no one is getting beyond chapter two. Chapter two is where the comparison is. He says, that's all anybody's going to want to talk about. That's all the attention is going to get sucked into that chapter. And in fact, there's some truth to that. What I really urge people to do is get beyond two. The whole reason I wrote chapter two was to tell you why I'm so frightened and to tell you why we have to be so aware of the weaknesses in our institutional structure, because the institutional structure is going to be under pressure from Trump in ways that it's never been under pressure before, because he is such a genius at the kind of divisive communication that he specializes in. And that puts huge pressure on the democratic institutions. The Weimar institutions cracked. Now the question is, will our institutions crack? And I think they won't. But they won't only if we recognize the danger to them and reinforce the institution.